The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making your home great on WPTF, we are live on the radio, which is still the best way to be. And unique, oddly, among other talk formats. 919-860-9783 is our number, and we've got Holly Bowers from Roofworks. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy Saturday to you.
Yes, and well, and it seems to be rain-free.
Yeah, that's what we need, is a nice day.
I assume that when the rain came down in buckets, that the phone started ringing with you guys.
Oh, yeah. It's been buzzing in the office all week. I'm very proud of our team. They've been working hard answering phones, getting to customers, and getting out there and servicing all these roof leaks everyone's had. They've done an awesome job.
And there's no double phone call. Like, some people think, okay, I've got to call an emergency service and then call Roofworks later. No, no, no. You guys will come out.
Yeah, we'll definitely come out. I mean, obviously, we're not going to come out if it's not safe conditions for our team to get on the roof. But we'll certainly get you on the schedule and get you out there as soon as it is opened up and the skies look good and the guys can get up on that roof and get some tarps on.
This might be a busy week.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be busy for a good while. That rain brought a ton of roof leaks.
Right. And it probably didn't cause those roof leaks. It just identified them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we always talk about, preventative maintenance, because if you're proactive, you don't get leaks on the back end. But unfortunately, not everybody can do that, and leaks pop up anytime, anywhere. So just if you're seeing water in the house, give us a call and let us get out there and take a look at it.
It was an amazing downpour, at least on my end of town. It would just, and it didn't stop right away.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much rained all day, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Right. Yeah, I blocked it out, but yes.
That makes it tough, too, because we can't get on the roof and do anything. So
No.
As a homeowner, the best thing to do is get up in your attic if you have access to it. If you see water coming in, get your pots and pans out, put them up there at least to hold that water and contain it so it doesn't cause any interior damage to your sheetrock.
I'm running sort of an empirical study at this point. I'm wondering how long Jim from Frog Hop will hang on the line. He dialed as soon as he found out you were going to be on the show, and he's been hanging on ever since. But let's pick him up after about 4 minutes on hold. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hello, everybody there from Frog Hop. Greetings from Frog Hop.
I imagine the frogs are very happy with the amount of rain.
They are very happy, and whenever they hear Holly's voice, they always ribbit in unison. So, I mean, you know, they're not my frogs. They're her frogs.
And to clarify this, a Frog Hop is where?
It's a small community on the border between Franklin County and Wake County. At one time, my grandfather owned like 300 acres out there and everything. So, but there's not too much to do, In Frog Hop, at least you can find some places to go to. You know, way on the sticks, you know, you can't find too many things out there other than frogs and snakes.
Okay, now wait a minute. We've got to identify that because I hear from people. You know, one guy called me and said, yeah, I'm from the Bun area, which I thought was like, I don't know, lower back. But I've since learned where Bun is. Frog Hop is a town, and then you live in the outskirts?
What it is is that there's a couple of roads out here. If you're ever out Youngsville, Zebulon, Lewisburg Way, Oscar T. Barham Road, there. My grandfather had a large farm and everything, cotton farm, soybeans and everything, and he has two roads named after him. And he always said that whenever it rained, the frogs would come out from underneath the house and ribbit. So.
Okay. All right.
This was like a house built in 1899, and they had a good roof on it. That's when they used to put good roofs on houses, good steel roofs. So.
Right. All right. So what are your questions?
The question that I have got for Her Majesty, first of all, I wanted to let you know that we all out here, we love your pleasurable voice, and we're always very proud of what you've done at Roofworks, Holly. So, and I wanted to let you know, one road out here in Frog Hop, that Roofworks did. We had no leaks. The competition did the next road over, and they had at least three leaks that I know of. So that's just a testament to Roofworks' work out here and everything, and we deeply appreciate it. So
that's great.
The question that I've got is a technology question, and that doesn't come from the neighbors. That comes from me. Over the last 5 to 10 years, Holly, what do you think the biggest technical roofs has been concerning roofs has been implemented? I think it's the wide gutters and the elimination of the attic fan and the ridge vent. And what do you see coming up in the next 5 or 10 years that might be kind of revolutionary in roofs and everything and the upkeep of them and everything? And I'll let you go at this point. Is it okay if I give you a quick joke, Alexander the Great, and then
sure.
I'll go?
Yeah, I can't deny you the joke. Go ahead.
Holly can probably, I don't know if Holly can answer this, but What was Dracula's favorite high school course?
I couldn't hear all the words.
What was Dracula's favorite high school course?
Dracula's famous. I don't know. We don't know.
It was mathematics because he liked to count. And if I can give you another one real quick, what's a chicken's least favorite day of the week?
I don't know.
Friday.
Very good. Thank you,
Your Majesty, I hope you have a great weekend. We all deeply appreciate everything that you've done, and we're so proud of everything that you're accomplished at Roofworks.
All
so,
right.
This is Jim signing off from Frog Hop, and y'all have a good weekend.
All right,
okay?
Take care.
And thank you, sir.
Jim from Frog Hop, thank you. Okay, so he asked about
technology.
What has been advanced over the last few years?
So many things. You know, it's crazy. I was just thinking about that the other night. How much technology has really changed our industry, not even just from products and roof systems, but really just from the operations standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, technology with software is coming in, and I always say AI is taking over the world, or trying to at least, and it's going to be very interesting to see what jobs are eliminated and what jobs are born from that. But the technology, the pro with technology is it's been able to enhance many different products as far as making the shingles better. It's, you know, coming up with the ridge vent and solar power fans and so many different things that actually make these roof systems last longer. So I think the pro from a roofing standpoint, especially steep slope, is that they are trying very hard to make a better product from a shingle standpoint, where it's going to be much more durable for all of these hailstorms coming in.
Right.
Which in turn, hopefully, if people are putting these impact-resistant shingles on with these fortified roof systems, there's going to be quite a bit of less claims coming through the pipeline.
Right.
Which in turn will hopefully turn this back around for the good.
And yet at the same time, that means less work.
Yeah, I mean,
for Roofworks,
the three-tab shingle is so vulnerable to impact.
Yeah.
And those are pretty much phased out for the most part. I mean, you still see three tabs being put on, but not like they used to be put on. But even with your basic architectural shingle being thicker and with them coming up with even more thicker shingles that they're considering impact resistant, they should really hold up much better to some of this impact that they're seeing from these hailstorms, windstorms. It really comes down to installing those shingles properly and how you're putting that roof system on, because if it's on there tightly and secured, some of these storms it shouldn't affect. I mean, if you're getting a hurricane at crazy wind rates, you know, a 5-rated hurricane, there's not much anyone can do for that because it's kind of the freak of nature. But among other things, there's going to be much better ways to eliminate a lot of these unnecessary claims that are being pulled right now.
Right. The we really don't know what the lifetime of the best shingles right now being put on roofs. We don't have the experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely shingles that have been around that have proven tested time. I mean, you've got the Grand Manor shingle. I mean, that's a true 400-pound shingle, and if it's done correctly, installed right, it has lasted as long for people to see the duration of the lifespan on that.
Really?
But there's other products that they haven't even been around long enough.
Sure.
They're going to say that they last, but they have to be proven too.
And we're possibly talking about the point where we'll we'll break a threshold of 40 and 50 years.
Yeah.
Reasonable time.
I mean, you know what has proven the test of time?
What's that?
Metal, slate, tile. I mean, those for sure. You see all that old architecture, especially in Europe, where they've got those slate and tile roofs. I mean, those roofs have been on for years and years and years and years. So that's why we're always more active towards going with the real deal versus the fake, because it is proven. It does last. It's a natural product, and it's going to be costly, but you're going to get your money's worth on that.
Brock's going to come in a little bit, and he went to Ireland and saw the roofing there, and you know there are some homes there
that
still use slate tile, still use thatched roof.
Yeah, we don't see that much. I actually saw that pretty recently. I was in another country, but it was great to see it because you don't see thatched roofs around here at all.
It's a grass roof.
It's not fireproof though.
No, it's not.
That's the downfall to it.
That's the problem.
But it's very cool to see the unique structures with those roof systems on that you're not seeing here in the States.
Right. All right. We're going to talk more with, of course, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier in a few minutes. And Holly Bowers of Roofworks. Roofworks. And this is the week when my voice actually changes. I'm so glad. FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF, Holly Bowers from Roofworks. And here is Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Your experience in Europe, or at least in Italy. Ireland.
Ireland. Right.
You did see thatched roofs.
Yeah. It was kind of a time warp, you know, when we landed into Dublin and rented a car, and I felt confident I should be the driver. Bumped into a brigade just pulling out of the parking garage. So it's a little bit of a learning experience. But yeah, once we got outside of Dublin and we started kind of driving the countryside, there was a lot of houses and buildings that had thatched roofs. And, you know, I just hadn't seen that since, you know, medieval times movies and stuff like that. So I had an opportunity when I was in Dublin to talk with a contractor that happened to be in a pub that my family and I walked into. And I talked with her for a while, and she said, well, there's only three or four companies on the island. It's, you know, Ireland. There's only a few companies on the island that still do thatched roofs, and it's to keep the older look to that area, keep it. So it was really interesting to see how they did things over there, very different than we do them here. A lot of slate.
Yes.
A lot of slate roofs over there. So it's unique. Anytime you get a chance to visit outside of your norm and you get to see how they build things and construct things, it's intriguing.
And you know, it's so intriguing is to see that those buildings have been around for hundreds of years and they're still standing. So that goes to show you that those products, especially slate, is really going to last forever.
Yes.
Yeah, we think we're an old country until you go into these towns and they're like, oh, this town was created in 942. It's like, what?
Right.
And these things are still standing?
Yes.
Yeah, they say Americans do not have history. We have traditions.
That's right.
the best we can call it. All right, let's talk about the things that Roofworks does. That again, you don't do thatched roofs, but what's the whole scope of what you do?
Yeah, I mean, we work on all sides of roofing, from residential, multifamily, commercial. We do repairs, maintenance plans, full replacements, coatings, gutters, gutter repair, gutter cleaning. We do skylights, chimney caps. We pretty much anything from that rooftop up, any type of low slope membrane.
Right.
Type of roof system that you have.
What about soffits and fascia?
We do. We do a lot of soffits and fascia work, especially with our gutter team, because obviously they're going out replacing gutters. With that comes rotten fascia and soffit. So we're doing that pretty much every day.
Yeah, if the gutters are not installed properly, it rots out the fascia, and you don't even know because the gutter's covering.
A lot
and
of
it
times
isn't until you disconnect the gutter and pull it back, you're like, has to be cut out and replaced.
Well, I mean, a lot of homes, new construction, it's clad with metal.
Yeah, and we can fix that too. I mean, sometimes you get that falling off. We see that a lot, especially with the windstorms on a lot of the HOA buildings. I mean, you'll see like a whole piece of fascia just blow off the building. So,
but reliably underneath there is wood.
Yeah, and then we call that subfascia. So once we tear that off, if that's deteriorated, we have to replace that too. So, and sometimes, like Brock said, you never know until you get things uncovered to see what's actually going on. So when I talk about change orders, the only thing that we don't like change orders, but wood replacement is one of those things that you cannot see visibly to the eye. So that's we have to make sure that we get everything opened up, even from the fascia, subfascia to the rooftop. Once we get everything tore off, then we can inspect the wood, and if it's rotten, then we'll go ahead and replace it. But that's typically the only extra expense that you're going to incur going with roof works.
Right.
As she pointed out, if you can't see it, you know, the whole point in doing inspections and you know, it's kind of like us when we're doing mold remediation in a crawl space. If we get down there and the entire subfloor is insulated, right, you can't see the subfloor. Now, my guys are going to go through and push a little bit of insulation aside here and there and try to check what kind of, you know, state the subfloor is in. But we really don't know till we pull all the insulation out. And every once in a while, we find there was a old leaky pipe in the back, a toilet flange that got fixed years ago, but they never fixed the damage that the leak caused, and we uncover it when you pull the insulation out, and the whole subfloor is solid black and starting to rot out, and we have to go to the homeowner and say, look, we didn't see this in the inspection because we didn't pull all the insulation down. So sometimes that happens. You're going to uncover things during the process. The key is dealing with a company that's going to shoot you straight and fix it for a fair cost.
That's right. And, I mean, we've seen different situations, too. I mean, you've got, like, you know, just your basic leak where there's a spot on the underside of the roof deck in the attic, but when you probe it, it's not rotten, so it doesn't necessarily need to be replaced.
Right.
And sometimes our team can't see that from, obviously, the rooftop. So, you know, homeowners will question, hey, how come that didn't get replaced? Well, it wasn't rotten. It's just a stain, and you're fine. You don't have to waste the extra money on a sheet of plywood for no reason.
Or mud. How often are you guys in an attic and you can see mud on the trusses and the back of the roof deck?
Just needs to be
washed.
And
a lot of homeowners think that's mold. We get called all the time. Yeah. I got mold all over my attic, which is, of course, a very peculiar thing to run into. You normally don't find mold in an attic unless there's a water source, a leak of some kind. And we get out there and it's just everything's covered in mud. And, you know, I've got to explain to homeowners that that's not actually mold, that's mud. That means whenever they built the house 20 years ago, they left the wood out in the rain and the mud and then framed the house. You see the footprint?
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness. And there'll be a boot footprint of mud on it. And it's like, don't worry, that's not mold. It's just dried dirt.
It's just dried dirt.
We're all right.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. All right. We're going to continue talking with Holly Bowers from RoofWorks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. This is Making Your Home Great on FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, and Traffic.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9 AM 680 and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcast, available wherever you get your podcast, and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF, that's what happens when the host goes to sleep during the commercials. 919-860-9783 is our number. We've got Holly Bowers from RoofWorks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. You know, Jim from Frog Hop mentioned something about ridge vents, and when he mentioned it, I thought, no, he's got to be wrong on that. He mentions something about eliminating ridge vents. That's not a factor, is it?
No, I think what he said is eliminating the power fans to install the ridge vents.
Oh,
which
I
that
see.
Was the whole purpose of having the ridge vents system is so that you don't have to have those wired power fans that typically only last 5 to 7 years before they burn out.
Right. Is it at all conceivable somebody would want or have a ridge vent and some sort of solar fan drawing air out?
Yep, we run into that all the time. So that's, I mean, you do have combinations, especially depending on the type of roof system it is. And some people are just adamant about wanting to have that fan there regardless of the ridge vent system going in, even though we know it's too much ventilation, and we try to explain that to homeowners. But without their knowledge of understanding that, you know, it's the perfect science that makes that whole system click, sometimes they'll push back. But I think once we explain it to them, they understand the process.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked on the show before. There's electric fans and solar fans. Yes. Electric fans, Holly's right on the money. Those things last about 3 to 6 years on average before the motor goes out.
Yeah.
Solar fans, you can get a lot longer life out of. Most of them are in the 15 to lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
However, it's a common misconception on how, for example, a solar fan would make the biggest impact. I am personally a big fan of ridge vents. I think they, you know, there's no moving parts. There's nothing to break.
Right.
They're fully insured. So if a, you know, hailstorm or a windstorm comes through and tears up your roof, they're going to replace the ridge vent as well. So it's insurable as part of the roof. Where solar fans make their impact is not really when the sun is up. Okay. There's not a fan in the world that can pump out heat at a rate faster than the sun is putting it in.
Okay.
So what you're going to get with a powered fan, we'll just talk about a solar fan, is in the heat of the day when the sun is up, it's going to drop your attic temperature somewhere between 15 and 20 degrees.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, that's great. Well, that's down from 140 to 120. Okay. It's still 100 plus degrees up in the attic. Where the fan makes the biggest impact is when the sun has gone down. Go up into your attic at 9 o'clock in August.
Yeah.
Okay, 9 p.m. after the sun has been down for hours, your attic is still 130 degrees because it's using natural physics. The heat is rising at a natural rate to go out your ridge vent.
Yeah.
That takes a long time.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, if you have a powered fan, a solar attic fan, these thermostats hang down into the attic and they read the attic temperature. So when the sun is down, if the attic's still 130 degrees, it is pumping out that heat. It is running like crazy.
Right.
Cools the attic off below 95 degrees by 8:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And now the top floor of your house feels normal. You're not struggling to cool it down at the end of the day. However, hip roofs, which we've talked about, which essentially looks like a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this tiny little ridge vent up there covering a massive attic.
Yeah.
Not normally adequate. Those are typically the roofs that we see ridge vents and a combination of a powered fan just to help affect the ventilation as much as possible.
Yeah.
But a standard house that has a ridge vent that goes 30 feet all the way across the ridge, that's normally pretty adequate. That's going to do a good job of ventilation, which is why I'm a good fan of those as long as they're applicable.
Right, okay. And the most important thing is having ventilation along your eaves because you've got to get the air in to let it out. So if you don't have eave ventilation, then the whole system's not going to work.
Eave ventilation.
Soffits.
The eaves go, the soffits.
The soffits, yes, which that runs along the eaves of the house.
It's funny because I'm thinking back to when I insulated the bonus room on the one house I did. I had to fur out because of the fact that the insulation wouldn't have fit, and I furred it, put the insulation, a foam, like a foam cup channel. It drew the air from the soffit and fascia area to the top of the roof and then out.
Right.
The ridge vent. Tell me how that cooled my attic, or did it?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, it's cooler outside than it is in the attic.
Okay.
So having soffit vents, ridge vents outtake ventilation, but having soffit vents is bringing technically cooler air in from outside. That cooler air is pushing the heat at an upward angle to the ridge vent and helps it to siphon out.
Okay.
Which is why it's kind of a long process at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So for homeowners that are saying, look, I've got plenty of ventilation, but at the end of the day, my top floor is really struggling to cool off deeper into the evening, those are normally the homeowners that see a larger benefit going with some sort of powered fan, which will cool off the attic faster, therefore cooling off the top floor much faster.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the hard thing is, too, with your HVAC system, if you don't have a dual system where you've got an upstairs and downstairs thermostat, it's always going to be a problem, because with an upstairs, without having a thermostat up there controlling the airflow, it's always going to be hot. So that's really the first thing to fix that problem, and then you get up in the attic and make sure the ventilation's proper, too.
So does a two-story or three-story house need multiple
thermostats
for efficiency? Yes, okay. Absolutely. That's a common issue that we run into, or with our homeowners, is they reach out and they say, "Look, we've got a single system.
Yeah,
runs both floors. Thermostats located on the bottom floor." And I said, "I'll stop you right there. I can already tell you all your problems. It's too hot on the top floor in the summer, isn't it?"
Yeah.
It's because your thermostat's downstairs. So when the temperature downstairs gets to setting, it shuts the unit off.
Yeah.
The upstairs is still 12 degrees hotter. Okay, what about in the winter? I bet you in the winter, the bottom floor is cool and the top floor is warm. Yeah, it's because all your heat's going up the stairwell. If you moved your thermostat to the top floor, that's where it's going to impact you the most in both the summer and the winter when it comes to efficiency.
Right.
So it's a common thing. You can either spend the money to have a secondary unit installed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about HVAC to have this conversation, but I know enough to know that there are some units that you can have sensors throughout the house that'll read temperatures in those rooms, and you can preset the thermostat to run more airflow to those.
Yeah.
I'd have to defer to somebody who's licensed in HVAC, but I know they exist.
Right.
So there are options, but sometimes the cheapest option is move the thermostat to the top floor, and don't be shocked when your bills drop 30%.
Because when the top floor is warm enough,
in the winter, it shuts off.
It shuts off.
You're never going to heat up the bottom floor, which is why in the winter the heater's always running, because the thermostat's on the bottom floor, all the heat's going upstairs.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen. Move it up. And in the summer, your thermostat's focusing on cooling off the top floor, not the bottom floor. So it will run longer. You're going to use a little bit more electricity, but now you're going to be able to sleep in those rooms that night.
Right. Okay. If we have an HVAC expert listening to the program,
call in.
Please call in 919-860-9783. And if your marketing budget is not totally exhausted, but you are, call 919-860-9783. We'll get you on the program today, and we'll talk.
What everyone has to take into account, that all these trades work together.
Right.
So just because we get the roof replaced doesn't mean it's going to be a whole house effectiveness if you've got your insulation that's off, or HVAC that's off, or your plumbing pipes are in areas.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we just ran into one where a sprinkler head was literally attached to the underside of the roof deck. There is no way for us to know that. That should have never passed code, but obviously it got punctured by a roofing nail, and that goes into a plumbing trade, making sure that all those things are set up correctly for everyone else to do their job. So it is a combination of all of us, and we did talk about this at the last show at the wood shop about even when you're buying homes, get the homes inspected from all these different trades, because we all come together at some point, and it's just important to make sure that every part of that system on each house is running efficiently in the way it's supposed to.
I would think, with the sprinkler being an add-on, that the reverse would happen. Somebody nailed through the deck.
Yeah.
Into the,
there was absolutely no way. It was a cathedral ceiling. There was no way for our guys to catch that. I mean, that's something that was nobody's fault in that case. Nobody knew that it was there. It should have never been there from the beginning. And therefore, it was just one of those things that it was, the way it was built was, that wasn't right.
It was in a cathedral vault.
Yeah, and so, it was absolutely impossible for us to detect that.
You walk into your living room, you got big vaulted ceilings.
Yeah.
Well, there's normal vaults, which means you can get up into the attic above it, and you can actually see the vault in the attic.
Yeah.
You can see the insulation. You can crawl on top of that vault. There's a gap between the peak of the vault and the peak of the roof.
Right.
Then you get cathedral vaults. When you're looking up at the vault, that is your roof.
Right.
Somebody wedged insulation in the cavity. They put drywall up. So there's no way to access that unless you pull the drywall down or you pull the roof off.
Yeah.
I mean the deck, not the roof, but actually pull the roof deck off.
And when you got an inch and a quarter nail puncturing that, it's way too close to the roof deck. There shouldn't be anything that close to the roof deck.
That's a code violation. You're not allowed to have any plumbing mounted to the roof or electrical.
Yeah,
in most cases, if you have electrical, it has to be mounted at the bottom of the roof joist, not it has to be gapped at least 5-6 inches from the roof deck.
And we've seen it in gas lines. We've seen gas lines that close, and those things are just, they're dangerous. So.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
But but those were trades outside of ours. But, we always question why did it pass inspection. But either way, regardless of the fact that they should never be that close to the underside of the roof deck where any type of roofing repair or replacement that's made is going to potentially puncture a gas line or something that could cause serious damage inside a house.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Okay, we're going to, with your permission, your Highness, I will I will talk about the fact that there is fraud in the world and that occasionally people are trying to take you.
What?
Yes, it's true. I learned this from the Nigerian prince who emailed me. And
the money's on its way, I promise.
It's on its way, but my money has been gone for years. I'll hear back from them eventually. Our number, 919-860-9783. We are on Making Your Home Great with Holly Bowers from RoofWorks, Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier, and Dave Alexander from the radio station, FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great. Second hour of the program is going to be Bob Drog with Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Painting. He's been on the show before. He's a very good guy. And when you sense that he has a little bit of an accent, just ignore it, is what I'm saying. Bob's here 100% on the right side of life, okay?
Thank you.
He's not, you know, he's from the Netherlands. He's not from anywhere else. That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to set the table for him. And, of course, Holly Bowers of RoofWorks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. There are people who will scam you.
All day long.
And I can't say I've ever been truly scammed, but there were people who came through the neighborhood. The minute one roofing sign went up, in fact, I'm going to borrow one from you and just do a test. Put up a roofing sign anywhere in the neighborhood, and roofers come knocking on your door.
Yeah. I mean, scams are everywhere. Now, emails, bank accounts, yep. AI, I mean, it's what's real and what's not real anymore. That's really the question nowadays. But, yeah, we talk about fraud all the time. I mean, it's in every industry across our country and world, and we just sit here and advocate against it because we're obviously not going to get caught up in that. We try to help prevent homeowners from making some bad decisions with people that they can't trust. And
right.
That's pretty much what it is, and I think it's just going to get worse, a lot worse, before it gets better.
You do not door knock.
We don't.
Although it's got to drive you nuts at some point to be in a neighborhood where somebody's soffit and fascia has deteriorated. I'm talking to you a little bit. There's a street in one of the towns I've lived in where it's just like, oh, my gosh, guys. You got a house that's probably, I don't know, 50 grand. You know, it wasn't such a big house to begin with. But the soffit, I can see into the roof, underneath the roof deck. But you're not going to knock on their door.
No, and I mean, and honestly, I advocate more for it, not so much about how we feel, but it's about how our customers feel and how much it aggravates them and disrupts their peace. So, I mean, but they call us all the time and complain about these people that won't leave them alone. And, you know, they're very forceful, and it's 10 different companies knocking on their door, intruding their space. So it's not, because this is what RoofWorks thinks. I'm sitting here talking for all the customers that have given us all this feedback and just trying to advocate for them to say, hey, just say no. I mean, I think a lot of people are tired of it. They've been tired of it. And I'm here speaking up for them to try to control some of this chaos out here so people stop being so ridiculous and forcing themselves upon people that really don't want you bothering them on a Saturday Friday afternoon.
At home.
They're getting home trying to cook dinner. They've got a family. They don't want that.
I'm watching my beloved Rockies play a game, and they're ahead. They, by the way, are about 52 games off of 500.
Oh, you're
they're only
there.
32 games back.
You're so close.
But the point is, I'm sitting watching a game. The doorbell rings, and I come to the door, and they want to talk to me about Duke Power.
Mm-hmm.
They're not from Duke Power.
Right.
They're from a solar company. Somebody knocks on the door, and they want to sell me roofing. Oh yeah, I just did the roof on your neighbors, and I had a whole bunch of shingles left over. Holly, do you guys ever have enough left over to do another roof?
If we do, we got some bad estimators. I'm going to tell you that right now.
The material cost per roof doubles just because you don't know how to measure it properly. No, that's not a common thing.
It's not.
The same thing with, we've got cement driveways. But when I had an asphalt driveway, they'd come, they'd knock on it and say, listen, we got a lot of asphalt left over from your neighbors. And could we? Yeah, you're kidding. You're kidding.
It happens. Yeah. I've actually, a few years ago, somebody knocked on my door because they had apparently just insulated one of my neighbor's houses and said, hey, you need any insulation? I said, I appreciate it. I know a guy. Thanks. But yeah, it's across every industry. These guys will knock on the door, they'll leave a card on your windshield, they'll leave a card in your mailbox, which I don't think you're actually allowed to do. I think that's taboo.
Yeah, mailbox is off limits. Yeah.
But for most of us, when we need you, we'll call you. The roofer, we're going to call the roofer. When we need the home remodeling painter, we're going to call the home remodeling painter.
Right.
I don't need you to knock on my door preemptively to find out if maybe I'm thinking about this down the road.
Well, and the whole thing is there's no soliciting in most of the front of these neighborhoods.
Right.
But
right.
How these people are still in here soliciting, I don't know. They're breaking rules already right from the gate. So that should tell you enough that they don't respect the rules. That most likely they're probably not going to respect your home either.
I have no soliciting in front of the neighborhood. The HOA has agreed. Number one, we put up the sign. Number two, we don't buy anything from a door knocker.
Right.
And that's what I tell the people. I say, you drove right by a sign that says no soliciting. Oh, but I'm not soliciting.
Right.
Are you selling? No, I'm not selling. I'm offering an opportunity.
Right.
I said, please go.
So they're being being dishonest right from the start. So that tells you everything. But yeah, I mean, that's why I said we talk about it. We had a customer call, talked to Julie a couple weeks ago. He had a roofer come out, gave him, he was going to go with him. The guy gave him all the money up front, which he probably shouldn't have done, but the roofer never came back. And now this guy's calling us because he's got to get the roof done and going to have to come out of pocket again. So that kind of stuff, I hate to hear that. That makes me angry because this poor man needs a roof replaced and somebody just took his money and didn't follow through on their word. And that's not okay. That's never going to be okay.
There are a couple of ways to know. There are a couple of ways to know. Holly, when RoofWorks does show up at my property, to redo the roof because I called you. When you do show up, what kind of insurance do you need?
Yeah, I mean, workers' comp for general liability for roofing, and we've got maximum coverage. So that's a big thing because if you don't ask and they don't have it, guess what happens? That one slip, they fall off that roof and die. The homeowner is going to most likely get sued, and you're going to be the one responsible for paying for injuries, loss of that family, and so many things that you don't want to be responsible for.
Unfortunately, that was actually a very common issue in the 70s and 80s. There was a lot of companies then that didn't have insurance, and guys would fall off roofs and break an ankle, break a leg, or even worse.
Yeah.
And it fell on the customer's homeowner's insurance. Mm-hmm. So for the last 20, 30, 40 years, other companies are like really trying to educate homeowners on, yeah. on why this is still a potential. You need to watch out for this and protect yourself as much as possible.
What are the other red flags? How would I know that somebody is trying to scam me as opposed to helping me?
I think that's the problem nowadays. It's hard. It's hard to tell, yeah. you know, who's who. And I think going with a company that's been around for a long time, get references.
Right.
Check reviews, call other customers that have dealt with them and get right. some insight on it. Because just because they look good on Google doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because and you can, Holly, you can create a company through AI now and it's not even real.
Yeah.
Holly Bowers from RoofWorks has been here every 2 weeks for a while. Nobody calls up and complains about RoofWorks, though they could. They could if they wanted, but they don't.
Yeah, I mean, we're not perfect either. I mean, we make mistakes all the time. We learn biggest lessons from things that we don't do right. But
right.
what we do is go out there and fix it and stand behind it.
All right, we've got to run at least for the news. This is Making Your Home Great.
The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF. We're having fun talking. Well, we're having fun practicing Bob's last name. Bob Groch.
Groch. Thank you, Dan. Groch. I'll assist you a little bit. It's a Dutch name.
I am so glad you're here. He's from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Painting. Unless it's just paint.
Well, it was originally Triangle Home Repair and Paint, but we started recently venturing more into the remodeling part, so
yeah.
we just inserted the remodeling.
All right, let's explain. Now, where are you from? You're from Norway?
No, not Norway. That's
not
your
Norway.
Favorite town, but favorite county. No, I'm from the Netherlands. But it's
you're from the Netherlands.
It's kind of like up north there, not
it's
that far away.
It's up north. It's those random countries, northeast of England, who are not so far from Germany.
Yeah.
And honestly, y'all sound like you're German, so.
Yes, and actually the northern province of the Netherlands
yes.
is called Friesland, and it used to be part of Scandinavia, and it's part of where my family came from. So
very nice.
I did the DNA test, and I'm 30% Scandinavian, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Well, what brought you here to do home remodeling and painting and home repair?
All right. Thanks for the question, Brock, and I appreciate you asking me. I think I'm just a very entrepreneurial kind of guy. And European countries, they're very restrictive in many ways, where
okay.
it's not too easy to start a business. In addition to that, all the northern weather, which is mostly cold and rainy and dreary. I tried to escape that because in the Netherlands, I would just for 6 months be having a runny nose.
Yeah, yes. Runny nose for 6 months is tough to deal with.
You couldn't be a farmer up there, could you? You couldn't run a garden.
Pretty cold.
Well, Holland is, believe it or not, one of the biggest exporters of products like tomatoes because we have so
really?
Many glass houses.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Big exporters of produce, actually.
That's really cool.
But you can't. I mean, my zucchini is in. My potatoes are in. And the potatoes need 4 months of really good weather. And you don't have it.
Not wanting to brag, but the Dutch potatoes are actually, if you go to Paris, like they're the most expensive on the menu because actually in the Netherlands, because it's so low,
yeah.
it used to be below sea level.
Right.
And so you have a lot of black clay.
Yeah.
And potatoes grow very well in that and they become very tasty. I've had friends of mine said that I lived in the Netherlands and I've been in America and the worst
yeah.
potato I've ever eaten in the Netherlands is still better than the one I got from America.
So I've actually eaten those potatoes before and he's right on the money. They are
really?
Very, very good.
Okay. All right.
As they are.
So Bob, talk to me about your experience with home repair and remodeling.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking. I started doing this in 2011. It was just me mm-hmm. and a little crew and just going around houses, repairing them, painting them. There's a large amount of houses that simply have a lot of wood on the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
So we started repairing that, and with that came a lot of paint work. So I just started doing it myself, and as the demand grew, the company grew, and we just were branching out into other things as well. So we have now 40, 50 people just running around every day of the week.
Now, is that indoor and outdoor painting, or do you just specialize in indoor or outdoor specifically?
So this time of the year, we get a lot of demand for exterior,
right,
especially with all the rains that have been happening.
Right.
People are really aware of, you know, the intrusion of water into their siding, and as a result, they get a lot of rot. So we get a lot of those requests. Now, typically in the winter time, when it gets cold, it's the weather's not very conducive for working outside.
Right.
So we're going to do more and more interior work. And for some reason, that is also when people want to do it, because everybody once after the holidays, everybody always paints, pushes right. their remodeling, their paintwork till after the holidays. So typically January, February is a lot of interior work.
And a lot of people don't know there is a good time of year to do the outside of the house, and there's a wrong time of year to try to paint the outside of the house.
Can you do it in the hot sun?
You can, absolutely. Yeah, it's not that much of a problem. You can actually still, believe it or not, as long as the weather is not like foggy, you can still paint as long as it doesn't freeze overnight. You're going to be just fine.
That's right.
So November is still actually a very busy, typical month for us because everybody wants to get their house done before the holidays.
Right.
What happens is everybody's very seasonal in the Carolinas. You have we live by the school year.
Right.
So during the summer months, people are, you know, thinking about summer and doing fun things. Then typically when the schools get back in, that's when everybody wants to get their to-do list done,
right,
their honey-do list done before the holidays. And that typically gets very busy. We, of course, depend a lot on how the weather is. If the weather's good, then we can keep on working. If the weather is bad or rainy or cold, then typically that slows us down significantly.
What kind of remodels are you guys working with right now? What is the most common remodel you guys are doing? Is it kitchens, bathrooms, or like attic renovations, or just maybe redoing a room?
So we do a lot of bathrooms. We have a lot of demand also for kitchens. It seems like more and more people want to remodel their kitchens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think what's happened over the course of time, people don't realize, but if their house is from 1980, then actually that house is 45 years old. And then you look at your kitchen and it's like, yeah, this is dated. No. I see Brock shaking his head.
Yeah,
like he's thinking probably about his own kitchen right now.
I could see Dave doing the math in his head, and he's like, that was 45 years ago.
That was 45 years ago. I mean, I never got my Trans Am from the 80s.
Nope,
I'm
still
never
waiting
got
on mine.
It. I graduated high school in 81, so this is really hitting me.
Do you need a minute?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I know I'm old. I'm as old as a 40-year-old house, or older.
No, but
actually,
you're right. People walk through their homes. They were built, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years, 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just say, you know what? I need this better. I need different types of cabinets. I need to expand here. And you're either buying another house or you're doing interior renovations. And you have to find a company that you know and trust that can. I mean, there's several different trades in there. You're dealing with renovation of kitchens, the installation of countertops, the installation of the cabinets, along with the painting, along with the backsplash. Do you work with a lot of people that kind of focus on those, or do you have those in-house with you?
So we work with several design centers in the area. We have our own in-house designer. So if a client wants to design a house, we typically send our designer out that helps them put the colors together, get the cabinets that they like.
Right.
We will take people out to a stone place so they can pick their countertops. But another thing is we're talking about very visual things. But what people don't realize, for example, we have electric cars these days. We have so much electronics.
Yep.
A lot of the homes simply have not been updated for the demand that is there. And I know this firsthand because my wife, she owns an electrical company.
Yeah.
And she gets daily request for people that really need to update their electrical system. And for example, what we see in the remodeling is that there's a big push for going electrical on the stove. And then, you know, this takes a 40 amp breaker, 50 amp breaker that needs to be added to the panel. Then they look at the panel and they're like, holy moly, there's a lot of people that been working on this panel, right. but it's not correct. And if we and then they make a load calculation, and they find out, hey, this 150 or 200 amp panel today is really not up to speed what it should be. For example, we built a brand new home, and we got two 200 amp panels. That is really what is commonly used today.
Yeah,
with extra room to add to it. I've noticed a lot of the old, the newer homes are building these twin breaker boxes. They're leaving room for additional breakers to be added over time. Mm-hmm. And you get into my house, for example, that was built in 1984. And every single breaker is being used. I'm probably getting to the point where I'm going to need to upgrade that system. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that a lot of people don't think about. They want to put in outside lights. They want to add stuff, and they realize they just don't have the capacity. You end up having to add an additional box to compensate.
I mean, I don't have to call the power company to get more electricity in my house. I just need the box. Right? Installed by a competent electrician.
Yeah. So what it is, you have most homes, they are seem to be built, all the houses are built, obviously, with electrical box. But over time, this just becomes dated. Just like we don't use the old cables through the house anymore that where we used to have the telephones plugged in. So all these things have just changed over time. And with that, people that have just a shell that is 40, 50 years old, that shell is really not made for today's world.
Right. It's already been painted three times.
Right.
It's time to take it down and put another one up. All right, we're talking to Bob from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Painting. Good job for you that you expanded the title of the company to include the things you do. I'm trying to get Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier to add about 9 other skills to his title. But I can understand you'd have to get bigger business cards.
Our company name would just be an acronym by the time we're done with it.
Well, it's not bad. Not a bad idea. All right. Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Paint. We'll talk with Bob in just a little bit. Brock's going to stay for just a couple of minutes more. And then we'll continue the show till 1 o'clock. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, News Talk Traffic.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
The radio program is Making Your Home Great. Bob from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Paint. The problem is I can't pronounce your last name. How do we say your last name?
Droog. And a rolling R, double O, and Droog.
Oh, I can't concentrate on
my wife. You could call him Bob.
I'm going to call him Bob.
My wife is English major. She pronounces herself as Droog, so I think that is proper.
Droog. Really? Well, she had an Anglophile everything. That's what English people do.
Yeah. She had a lot of practice.
they do. All right. So we're talking about remodeling and painting and home repair. What's the smallest of jobs you'll take on?
Really, we'll come out for just about anything.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Our minimum charge is $350, and we do $350 charges.
Yeah,
every day of the week. Not every day, but we will come out because a lot of times what happens is that we have a relationship with a client.
Right.
They have a small thing, and it's really not going to take us a whole lot. It's just a guy with a ladder that needs to nail in
something minor.
Something minor, right. A small repair or even a concern that they want us to look at. So we're happy to do small repairs. That doesn't mean that's all what we're doing, of course, but whatever clients want of us, we're going to try to help them out with.
That minimum charge is actually really good. The majority of the companies that I know that will go out and do minor repairs, they're typically a $500 to $1,000 minimum to do that type of work. So if they're willing to do small odd jobs for the $350 site visit, that's actually a really good deal.
Yeah, and we're gonna go beyond that because we will actually give them a free estimate.
Sure.
And then if during the estimate we see like, hey, this is really nothing that's too major, then we'll send a guy out. So you're actually going to get two visits for your $350.
Right. Sure. That's great.
Eventually you're going to repair it. You know, for the 350.
We value relationships, and therefore the same clients that really appreciate us helping out on a small thing that they couldn't do themselves, they hopefully will also keep us in mind when down the road they have something major that they want to do, and they feel like, hey, that's they're trying a home repair people, they're local, we like them, and that's who we want to be doing business with.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
Now, for interior painting, are people actually getting away from that gray that it seems to be everywhere?
I love that question, and we have these conversations in the office.
Yeah,
I remember the day that I painted my own kitchen harvest yellow or orange, what it was.
Really?
That was 2004. Then we went into grays and the blues.
Right.
And we had a funny conversation actually last week, and Alex, who is my stepson, who works with me, is also a general contractor by trade. He says, Bob, I have a lot of requests for greens these days.
Greens.
And so we're going to go to a conference in Las Vegas that is for home remodeling and things like that. So I said, like, is that casino green? And of course, that is the new joke in the office of people going into greens. But I'm not sure that it's casino green, but green seems to be the trending color.
Yeah, it's funny how colors shift. About every 10 to 12 years, you get a new color palette that comes in, and everybody's painting and doing the trim that same color. And yeah, I think it was an agreeable gray and white. It's been that way for about a decade now.
Yes, it has. So.
Then it went into the dark navy blues as accent walls and accent pieces, and now it's kind of transitioning into other colors. I've noticed recently a few of the newer homes I've gone into, they're using brighter colors. They're actually using a little bit more color in the home as opposed to just the neutrals. So that's interesting. It's good to see that we're moving in a colorful direction.
Yeah, we have a home that is all, every single room is the same shade of gray.
Right.
And the cabinets are just like two shades different from that. I mean, if a person lost the ability to see gray, they would walk right into my, you know, every wall.
Every wall.
Every wall, everything in there. Now, how about cabinets and countertops? What are people putting in these days?
We're working very closely with an Italian company. It's called Scavolini.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like top of the line, beautiful glass.
Yes, they are. I'm familiar with
them,
yes.
You're familiar with Scavolini. So they have like metallic lines.
Yeah.
They have very smooth, like,
sleek
services.
Very sleek. Oh, they're good looking cabinets.
They're
good.
And also what happens, a lot of these upper cabinets, they are very high for people to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So what we see is a trend to electrify things, where you hit a button and now this whole shelf comes down to work in height, where you can actually access, you know, whatever you had stored in.
My wife would love that, so I can pull the step stool out of the kitchen. She can reach everything on the shelves now. Yeah, they're getting really fancy with this kind of stuff.
Now, do you ever work with people who are handicapped or anticipating to become, you know, living in their house for a while? They need something to age in place.
Yes, we do that. We do that. And that's actually more and more a trend, that I think aging in place is really a thing that people are doing, but also getting ready for. I feel like it's not like this really older generation is not so much adapt to it. They're still thinking about going to the old folk homes.
Right.
Where I feel like younger people today, or people in the 50s, maybe my age, we're talking about, we need to age in place. And I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Sure.
So me and my wife, we had that thing. And before we got married, I said, I'm going to buy you a Rascal. And she, for the longest time, did not know what I was talking about.
A Rascal.
Some people know what it is, but some people don't. So then we build a house. And what we did, we had a front porch. But I'm like, no, we need to extend that front porch so you can drive over the front and it can go to the back deck and come back in.
Yes.
So I said, so you can drive around with your Rascal. Some people chuckling now. So what I'm saying, and we knowingly we put our bedroom downstairs.
Yes.
We have upstairs bedrooms where the children sleep, but we really have we built this house from scratch, and we prepared it, so to say, so that we can also, when we're older, it still is very functional.
Right.
Now, not every house that people are living in is functional today, so people will like to change their homes to make it more functional, so they prepare for, you know, living in their own place.
Do you do showers?
Oh, yeah.
Like walk-in showers?
Walk-in showers, yes. You can have them where the level is the same as the level of the floor, so it seems so you don't have to step in necessarily.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not aging in place. I'm deteriorating in place. So my wife and I are anticipating this time because we have two bathtubs in the house, and neither one of us has stepped foot in them in 2 years. We want that big... I mean, we're saving up for it. Get that big shower.
I think the aging in place is going to be a big part of the market moving forward. Because for those of us who are in a home where our mortgage rate is 3%, we're not looking to go to a 7. So it's better to invest where we are.
What is called I can't sell it.
Exactly.
All right. Making Your Home Great coming up.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
Making Your Home Great. I'm Dave. He's Bob from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Paint. And you're doing soup to nuts on people's homes. I mean, you'll take on the small jobs and the big jobs. What's the biggest job you ever did?
Well, a clay tile job where we had to get the tiles all the way from Spain.
Really?
Yeah, that was an expensive job. But we do a bunch of remodelings, but sometimes additions. So, couple hundred thousand sometimes, but it's not very common. What is more, the market is a $50,000 to $100,000 kitchen. If you're looking at a large, what's for us a good sized job.
Wow. So what's the? We talked about the cabinets. I guess we didn't necessarily hit on what the countertops would be. What's selling now?
You see a lot of the Korean and just not so much that people really having the remarble, but they have marbled stone.
Difference between marble and marbled stone is what?
Well, the marbled stone is more like fabricated where you get a very even patterns.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas with marble, it's really what they cut out of the quarry that depends the veins. And so it's less predictable.
Right.
And what people like to do is a lot of these, they call them waterfall countertops, where you have an island and in the center you have the countertop, but it then runs also into the sides.
The countertop runs into the sides.
So the left and the right. So essentially if you stand in front of a cooktop or a sink, whatever you have, then to the left and the right side, you will have actually the stone running all the way to the floor.
Wow. Well, that's beyond me. That's beyond me because I'd have to buy that stone. But, I mean, you've got less expensive alternatives for me, right?
There's all kind of grades of countertops. So the typically granite and stone, everything is always graded by quality, and that runs from 1 to 10, and there's really a big difference in price. If you have a level 1 for maybe 5,000, a level 10 is probably 50,000 for the same square footage.
We want to look at the number 1. My wife and I would like to look at the number 1.
We even do, just sorry for interrupting, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
But if you want to look for economic alternatives.
Yes.
Butcher block is a very good alternative. I know I've done one in my previous house.
Yes.
And that was because it was economic, but also because we really liked it. We had white cabinets at the time with just a butcher block top. It was very nice. And what I liked about it was that if you have granite, it's always going to be cold. Whereas if you have a wood, and for me to the feel, it's nicer to the touch.
Do people put butcher block on the whole countertop?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
It looks very nice. And what you need to do is just several treatments with mineral oil and beeswax. And then you kind of get a natural feel so there that you don't have penetration of water. And that way you don't get stains in your wood.
And if there is a problem with it, you go ahead and sand it down or have somebody sand it down and retreat it. Yes,
that, we haven't really had that need actually. If you if you properly prep it, you're not going to have a need of sending it down.
Wow!
Because the mineral oil and the beeswax will actually soak into the wood. I mean, it takes seven, eight different times that you go in it, but and when you put it on, it's like glossy and it's like quarter inch thick on there, not that quite that thick.
Right.
But you really can see the material laying on the top, and you come back the next day, and that wood completely soaked that in, because wood naturally will tend to soak in, like it soaks up water. It will soak up, you know, the beeswax that you put on the
top. It doesn't end up looking like a 1970s pizza place with the polyurethane over everything. No.
I don't have quite a vision of what you're
talking about. He doesn't have a vision.
There.
Let me just tell you that if you went to an American pizza place in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, they feared stains so much, they put this thick polyurethane over everything, where if it was wet, if it was wet, you couldn't walk on it. You know what I mean? It's just glossy. But apparently it doesn't look like that. That's good.
I don't think the polyurethane is going to go very well with the food prep.
No, it won't. No, it never does. But this is what they do. This is what they do on the serving tables, at least. So you're remodeling homes, you're repairing homes, and you do a lot of independent painting. Like people call you up and say, "Yeah, I want some painting done."
Yes. And that is very common. We will probably paint 2-3 houses a week.
Yeah.
We do 8 or 10 deck stains also in a week. It's pretty common for people to have a deck that's built out of wood where there's a lot of deterioration going on. And so what people call us for is to replace the rotten wood and then restain it so you can get some protection against the weather going forward. So restaining decks is a very common thing that always needs to happen.
See, no, I've never stained the deck. I have a deck. In fact, what I have is a walkway. Again, this aging in place thing. Mm-hmm. I was tired of falling over in the grass, so we just killed the grass and put a walkway in to a patio area. But I've never stained the small patio I have on the side of the house, nor have I stained the walkway. Am I fearing that deteriorating? It was pressure treated. Am I fearing that? Do I think it's going to deteriorate?
So the pressure treated is actually a very good material.
Yeah.
It is okay for ground contact 25 years.
So right.
It can really get wet for very extended periods of time, as long as it's a good quality. There's they call it builder's grade, where people take shortcuts, and then you have buy a brand new house, and this supposedly pressure treated deck is actually not treated correctly, and then it won't even last 7-8 years. But if you have good pressure treated, and you can just get this from the lumber yard, and that is very durable, actually. The advantage of staining it is simply the protection against the weatherization over time.
Right. I like the look of the boards just kind of graying over time. Mm-hmm. They look like they remind me of the beach. Honestly, we sprinkled sand to the left and the right, it would look like the beach. We've got Chris from Raleigh. Let's pick it up with Bob from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Paint. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's everybody doing?
Terrific. Glad you called.
Good. Yes, I'm very interested in this program today, as always.
Yeah.
And I have a question for Bob. I'm thinking about putting a half bath or a powder room on the main floor of my house. And can you give me any idea of the work that would have to be done? I think it would be there's space in the hall, and then to the downstairs, in the basement, there's space as well to be able to hopefully do that, and what maybe the cost would be estimated.
What,
have you ever done that?
Yes, we have. And that is not so much a problem. It's very important for us to take a look at what we're dealing with. I'm going to assume that this is not an addition to the existing house. So this is that's already under your roof. The work that it would take is that we're going to have to first see where we're going to put that in. And so we're going to look at the walls, what walls we can move. Now, typically, we can move any wall in your house. But if it is a what's called a load-bearing wall, we're going to have an engineer taking a look at that, and they're going to write a recommendation that if you want to move this wall, what you need to do instead is just making supporting walls that are going to take over that function. So you're going to first start with an engineer report if that is necessary. Then you're going to get... Now, typically, before this engineer comes out, we would set you up with our designer that is going to have this conversation with you, what you actually like to see, and then you get to the next phases. But then we're going to pull permits after that, after we have all the drawings together. The town will take a look at it, say, like, okay, an engineer has approved this. We will approve that. Then the next stage is just going to be... you know, you're gonna get some plumbing. You may have to redo some HVAC. There's always gonna be some electrical involved, so you need to get the experts in there as well. And typically, this will happen actually before you pull a permit, because in order to pull a permit, you need to have these trade permits in place, or you need to at least have assigned an electrical company, a plumber, things like that, people that are licensed to do that work. So at that point, I mean, this typically takes. Probably 2/3 of all the work is just all this early work that you're going to do in the planning phases. Once you're going to do it, these renovations go fairly quick. It may be a two-week renovation. After that, you're going to have some inspection on the rough-in, where inspector will come and see if the electrical is installed correct, so you're not going to have fire in your house, plumbing, all those kind of things need to be up to code. And then... you get to really just closing up the walls and finish painting it and putting in all the fixtures that you'd like.
That sounds wonderful, and you've done that obviously before. So,
I have a whole team in place. we're very organized in that way. So typically, we would first send out, for example, Nick. He's very good at that. He'll talk to you. He gets the ID then. You know, he'll probably be able to give you like a little ballpark idea of what the cost would be, because we don't want there to be any surprises. And also it protects me, because there goes a lot of work in the early work stages. And so we want to know that this is what you were expecting. Then we're going to get the designer in, an architect if necessary, and all the things follow from there. But we have a whole... pattern how we do that. Once we get into the actual building phases, I have another guy working for me. His name is Dan. He will then supervise all the actual work that is going on. So we have all different people for the different stages in this process.
Oh, it sounds great. That's wonderful to hear that and to know that it is feasible. So that's very helpful. I appreciate you letting me know that.
Chris, before we get going here, let's get Bob's contact information. If you've got pencil and paper handy,
yes,
go ahead.
So we obviously have our telephone number all over the place, but I'm happy to give out my personal email for anybody that listens and wants to contact me with regards to this radio program, because I actually like to know a little bit feedback from listeners. So if you hear this program and you want to talk to me, you want to give me some feedback, please do that. So my email, please don't spam me, FYI. So all the advertisers out there listening to this, please don't write this down. But my personal email is bob@thrpbiz. bob@thrp.biz. And
bob@thrp.biz.
And I will personally... I will personally respond and reach out to you, and then I will get you in connection with the right people within my organization that are going to help
Wonderful.
You down the path.
Oh, that sounds really, I'm excited. Thank you, Bob, for all your help.
Thank you, Chris.
What about phone number?
Yeah, phone
my
number.
My personal number.
No, dude. Oh, you've got a company.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
919-704-5562. And Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, there's always, we'll get picked up by a live person.
Okay.
And in the weekends, please leave a message if you'd like us to give you a call back. But if you call us between 8 and 5, Monday to Friday, we'll actually, somebody will be there live within my office picking up that phone. So you'll talk to somebody that can intelligently
talk to you.
Yes.
So much, Bob, and it's a wonderful show. I love it.
Thank you, Chris.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680 WPTF. Making Your Home Great.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
I'm so scared that man has already given his announcement that I hear any silence on the radio. I jump in. I'm anxious to get these microphones lit up. And telephones, if you want to call in the last couple of minutes, 919-860-9783 to talk with Bob from Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Painting. There's nothing in that field you don't do.
Yeah, we have... If we don't do it in-house, we have connections with just about everybody.
Sure. You might have to bring in a plumber at some point.
I was going to say,
I
don't like plumbing.
You don't like plumbing?
I don't like plumbing. Well, we have very good plumbers that we work with on a lot of projects. So we have people for that.
Yes.
But for some reason, maybe this is just me, and I have a lot of respect for plumbers.
Yes.
But I worked a couple times underneath my own sink.
Yes.
And if you know what raw sewage smells like.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, you lay in bed at night and you don't want to touch
your
partner because you know you're smelly.
Yes.
That's very uncomfortable. So I try to stay away from being a plumber.
Yeah.
And I should really be wearing gloves, but I'm a little bit old school. I just grab things and...
The other thing, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier always says, don't trust me with your electrical. He says, I'll bring in somebody who's competent and qualified, but don't trust me with your electrical. I have no experience in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing is, we're going to call Bob, and Bob's going to call anybody that's got to come in that's a specialty skill. Like, Bob, do you feel like cutting a countertop, like a $50,000 countertop?
No, I would never do that.
You would never do that?
No.
The good
thing is the people that fabricate countertops that also sell you the slabs, they will actually cut that for you. But they're not going to just cut it. They want the whole kitchen to be installed so they see exactly what the space is. Because on the countertop, being a quarter inch off doesn't sound like a lot, but it is an eyesore.
Oh, yeah.
Clients are not going to appreciate it.
My daughter had some work done in the kitchen. She created an island with a sink, and they came in and they had measured the countertop to almost the exact specifications of the island with no overlap. Mm-hmm. You know, on an island, you need about 4 inches sticking out so that you can sit down and have your knees underneath the countertop. Almost no lip. And the contractor said, yep, pull it out. and you guys are going to cut her a new one, which is what you should do, mm-hmm. right? Occasionally, there are mistakes made on a job. Right, Bob?
Yes, but here's the good thing is if you have a good relationship with contractors that you work with on a right. regular basis, I mean, we're all humans.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that nobody ever makes a mistake. The important thing is that you work with a partner that if they're going to make a mistake, they're going to own it.
Yeah.
If I have trade partners that I work with and they did something wrong and they're going to argue with me like, oh, that is not true. And I'm just like, yeah, I clearly can see it. And yeah. my client is complaining about it. So, and they're going to want to argue with me about it. Then this is not somebody that I'm going to be working with in the future. And luckily over time, I think that we have built a very strong team with very good people that we work with. Nice people, right. honest people. People that you want in your house, and that we really value those relationships, both with our clients, of course, that,
right.
but even more so with people that we are working with on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Do you do flooring?
We do. Well, we are not a carpet installing company.
Okay,
just
that's
so
fine.
You know, but it's pretty common for us that if we're going to do a remodeling that these people have all their hardwood floors and things like that. And they'll just say like, hey, while we're doing this and this floor runs from the living room into the kitchen, let's,
yeah.
can you do the floor? Well, of course.
Yeah, good. All right. Bob, pronounce your last name again.
Droog.
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 Droog. From Triangle Home Repair, Remodeling, and Painting. What is your contact information again? What's the telephone number for the office?
919-704-5562.
Okay, say that number again because we lost some of it.
919.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. No.
704.
704-5562.
All right, and that's making your home great for a Saturday. Thanks.